Anthony Fauci says he'll fight back in front of a Senate hearing about what he knew and what he said about COVID-19. President Trump says he won't fight back again today, giving diplomacy a chance to succeed as Israeli Chief Netanyahu heads to the White House. And some advice for parents not to fight back when your kids start to lose their common sense. That and much more coming up today on the Steve Holcim Show. Good morning, my friend. Great to be here with you again on another beautiful summer morning. It's a little hazy out there. I imagine we still got a little smoke and certainly a little bit of humidity. Although I mowed my yard last night, and I have to say about half the job is edging and trimming, push mower where the riding mower can't get into, and then the other half is sitting on the lawnmower, which is the easy part. But I was able to mow the yard, do the manual part, without standing outside and sweating like an idiot, which I did most of the weekend. So it felt pretty good last night. It was a hot day, but not like oppressive hot in my world. Now, if you're working outside doing construction, apologies, because I know that's tough, even when the temps back down a little bit, when we're still in the 90s and there's still a fair amount of humidity, it's tough. I will say this. Something happened Sunday night or very early Monday morning. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I do not know what triggered this event, but something happened in the night hours of Sunday or the wee hours of Monday. And the biting flies turned on. And they were horrible last night. My wife called me. She was doing tryouts for, she works for the Upward Sports team. They do kind of a sports ministry thing. They were having tryouts for all the kiddos who want to be part of flag football this fall over in Moorhead. And she, I said, how's it go? I texted her, how's it going? Need some supper or anything? And she goes, I'm doing okay, except these biting flies are horrible. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like, I haven't really noticed any biting flies this summer. Of course, I said that, right? Jinx myself. But I had just been out. I'd been running a lot Saturday, Sunday, golfed on Sunday. I didn't notice them at all. And if you followed the show for any length of time, you know the bugs love me. I have the blood type where they just can smell it, and they like me. And so they find me, whether it's mosquitoes, biting flies, or whatever, and I hadn't noticed anything at all. And so I'm like, well, that's weird. So I brought some bug spray over for Tracy and was able to play good husband for a little bit. And then I went home and started mowing my yard. And oh my gosh, they were vicious. And I put so much bug spray on, they were biting right through it. The deep woods off. And it says right on the label, on the protects against biting flies. And I said to myself, no, it doesn't. So I don't know what to do. I guess it'll have to be a long pants kind of thing, no matter how hot it gets. So I don't know what happened, but usually the biting flies hit you like late June, early July, at least in our part of the world. But for some reason, they are late this year, but they are vicious, at least where I seem to be and where my wife seems to be. Just me, or have you noticed any of this at all too? Maybe I just got lucky over the weekend, but it really hit hard yesterday. So I don't know what the story is there. But if you're seeing any biting fly updates, 701-271-1100, you can text me at that number, call me at that number, or studio at flagfamily.com. But those, they hurt. God, it makes the hair on the top of my head stand up just thinking about the sting of those biting flies. And they were having a convention. We don't need a Fargo Convention Center for the flies. Just have them find Steve when they want to start biting. All right, let's get to it here with the Morning Wire semi-automatic storylines with a rapid-fire rundown of what is going on in the world around us here today. We're going to start with the almanac for today. I like to mix these in just to remind us that we've always had extreme weather. The record high temperature for this day was not set in 2026, I guess it couldn't be 2026, 2025, 2024, 23, 22, 21, 20. You got to go all the way back to 1917, where on this day, it was 110 degrees. That's not feels like, that is air temperature. we have always had extreme heat and extreme cold, extreme wind, extreme rain, extreme drought. We like to mix that in. Average high for this day, 83. We're looking for somewhere in the low to mid-90s today in Fargo. Light winds. Remember when we were complaining about how windy it was early in the summer? Well, that has settled down. That's not such a bad thing there. We will lose 2 minutes and 25 seconds of daylight today, and you can really tell. You can really tell. It is pitch black darn near by 10 o'clock in Fargo these days. Stock market today, well, it's a schizo Wall Street today. Dow is up 400 points. NASDAQ is down 300. It's not uncommon to find one in the green, one in the red, but not this kind of divergence. Tech stocks getting hammered after that big run up earlier this year. S&P 500 is about unchanged. WTI crude oil down another dollar, 81.76. So we're almost back into the 70s. Gold is down $51 an ounce. Silver down $1.53. And Bitcoin today down about $1,600, $63,300. AAA says $4.09 will be your average price of regular unleaded gas today. That's down 2 cents from yesterday. North Dakota, $3.91. South Dakota, $4.01. Minnesota, $4.02. Diesel fuel nationwide today, $5.32. In the news cycle today, it is day three of the ceasefire between Iran and the U.S. As President Trump says, he'll give the Iranians another shot at diplomacy to end the war. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will meet the president at the White House today for the first time since the U.S. and Israel launched their war with Iran. The president expressed optimism today that earlier today that diplomacy could work, but also said if the U.S. and Iran cannot make a deal, we will go back to heavy artillery. Fundraising for the new Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library in Medora has passed $500 million, surpassing their $450 million goal following the grand opening out there July 4th. The landmark hall includes roughly $79 million in future pledges that will help repay a $70 million state line of credit approved by North Dakota lawmakers in 2023 to kickstart the construction. More than 40,000 visitors have already toured the facility. I am going to get a chance to do that next Tuesday, a week from today, and I will be doing my show live from Medora on Wednesday, and I'll tell you what I thought of the new library. Newly highlighted entries from Dr. Anthony Fauci's private diary indicate he estimated COVID-19's case fatality rate at 0.2 to 0.3% in February of 2020, despite publicly testifying weeks later that the mortality rate was significantly higher. Uh-oh. Fauci led our nation's public health response to COVID-19. Critics argue that these documents contradict his past public statements about both the origins of the virus, his personal role in driving early shutdowns, and the mortality rate. The North Dakota Department of Commerce is accepting applications for its Innovation Technology Loan Fund, the LIFT program, but you got to get your application in quickly. Applications will shut off. The deadline is July 30th. State officials emphasize investing in early-stage tech ventures keeps North Dakota competitive in retaining local talent and attracting national business investments. How about Watford City? Economic indicators show year-to-date building permit valuations in McKenzie County, Watford City jumped 85% year-over-year. They went from $12 million to $30 million this week. The data, released just a couple days ago, shows that commercial and industrial development is driving the bulk of the expansion, increasing nearly fourfold from $5.5 million to more than $20.3 million. Local officials say that these metrics, along with Watford City's hotel occupancy jumping 10 percentage points in June, are proof of sustained economic momentum across the western North Dakota region. Crave American Kitchen and Sushi Bar in Fargo has permanently closed its doors at the West Acres Mall. They've been in business since 2019. Management put a statement out on Open Table saying, "We appreciate everybody stopping by for a number of years," inviting diners to check out their other regional locations. West Acres Mall leadership acknowledged the closure, saying it's part of the natural retail life cycle. And they say that the mall is doing very well otherwise, and they're in a solid position to bring in another option. Small business optimism in Minnesota dipped slightly below the national average at 97.2 in the latest Small Business Optimism Index from the Small Business Advocacy Group. According to the report, Minnesota trailed National Federation of Independent Businesses. That's what I'm looking for. Minnesota trailed national figures in five areas: job openings, expansion plans, and inventory levels, though owners did report local stronger plans for capital investment. Story of the day coming up next. Bought a guitar about, I don't know, 7-8 months ago. This is the first song I'm trying to learn. I don't sound like this. I do not sound like this. Although I will tell you that if you are interested in learning to play the guitar, I've got a little something for you here. We are going to be auctioning off on Thursday on the Jay Thomas Show two guitars, one really sweet acoustic guitar and a nice electric guitar from Flatland Guitar. And if you're ever going to sound good, you're going to sound good on those. It's a Breedlove acoustic guitar. And I bought a Yamaha, and I didn't buy the cheapest one, certainly didn't buy the most expensive one, kind of in the middle, which is kind of where I tend to buy most of my stuff. I don't buy the most expensive generally, don't buy the cheapest. I kind of try to find the quality sweet spot in the middle. But if I would like to upgrade, this one would be the one to do it. And I haven't decided if I'm going to try to play a couple of chords on that guitar on Thursday or if I want people to actually continue to follow the program. But we're going to have a ton of fun on Thursday. It's like Home Shopping Network on the radio. So we have a list of about 30, I think it's 31 items, $50,000 worth of really cool stuff. There's a backyard greenhouse, a couple of sides of beef from Allsagers, guitars, gym memberships, power tools, tires, dinner for eight at ZD's, on and on and on it goes. Myself, Jay Thomas, Dean Wysocki, and Janae White will be the hosts. And you can listen to us on the radio, but follow along on your phone or your iPad or computer and actually see the items, because we're going to make a TV show out of it as well, just like we do on election night. Graphics, you can see the prices up for all that stuff there. We've never done anything like this before, but I think it's going to be a ton of fun. No reserve prices, everything sells. So that's the deal. There are going to be, I know, some absolutely ridiculous deals here. You can watch it online and see there. You can comment on social media, but bids will only be taken by phone. Too hard to keep track of everything on all the platforms there. Thursday, 2 to 5, the Summer Savings Spectacular on the flag, our Facebook Live, our YouTube channel as well. You don't want to miss this one. It's going to be so dang much fun. I cannot wait for this. All right, story of the day. Mike Lindell fighting back. Not a pillow fight, a real political battle. Okay, so what do we have here? Well, do you remember that Lisa DeMuth, who is running against Mike Lindell in the Republican primary for governor, DeMuth got after Mike Lindell over the weekend, saying that, "I don't think Minnesota Republicans want amnesty." And that's what Mike Lindell is pushing. And of course, in politics, you maybe exaggerate a little bit, but where there's some smoke, there's some fire. And so DeMuth said, go look at the record. So the story of the day is Mike Lindell tries to clarify his comments on this. And I'm reading from our website, am1100theflag.com. Lindell was on with Scotty yesterday, and the story says like this: Mike Lindell is aggressively defending his record on immigration following intra-party backlash, firmly rejecting accusations that he supports amnesty for undocumented immigrants. Following a highly coveted endorsement from President Trump, Lindell faced a wave of criticism from several Republicans, including Minnesota GOP Chairman Alex Plekish and Speaker of the House Lisa DeMuth, over a policy proposal published on his website. The controversial plan outlined a six-month moratorium on deportations, giving undocumented immigrants whose only crime was illegal entry an opportunity to register for conditional work permits. DeMuth sharply criticized the idea, saying, quote, "A governor of a state does not change federal immigration laws. We are not a sanctuary state, but we sure are a magnet." Lindell says this is a coordinated backlash response to President Trump's endorsement. He said, quote, it's been a firestorm ever since the president endorsed me, I'll tell you that. Defending the original intent of the plan, which he noted was drafted nearly a year ago and initially intended as a national proposal, Lindell argued it was a practical approach to fingerprinting and tracking immigrants rather than giving them a free pass. He says a door-to-door national deportation effort isn't feasible, and getting undocumented individuals registered in a system would allow law enforcement to immediately deport them if they commit a crime. Lindell emphasized, I'm not for amnesty, I've never been for amnesty, and I will never be for amnesty. I have done more to fight the illegals than anyone. Acknowledging that altering deportation rules requires federal action, Lindell outlined immediate steps he would take as governor to crack down on illegal immigration in Minnesota. A primary target? Employers hiring undocumented workers, pointing to an estimated $1.5 billion in unpaid taxes from companies employing undocumented labor. Lindell proposed instituting mandatory jail time for corporate executives who break the rules. He said, quote, you make that a jailable offense. Maybe it's 90 days for the CEOs and the owners of those companies if they're caught. He said, mere fines are often dismissed by executives as a simple cost of doing business. And there's a little bit more on there, but that's the gist of the story. So anything about Mike Lindell's stance here bother you? What you have heard, what you've seen? I don't have a strong opinion on Mike in this race. Mike's a great patriot. He has suffered more trying to stand up for President Trump and standing up for law and order than just about anybody that I can think of. I do not happen to think he's the best choice for governor of the Republican candidates. I think Lisa Daymuth is that choice. But if Mike Lindell is governor, I will say, go, Mike, go. And let's see what happens. I've told you this before, and I could very well be wrong, but I strongly believe that Lindell does not have a chance in a general election in Minnesota. I believe Daymuth does, but I believe that they're both underdogs to Amy Klobuchar. Daymuth, mild underdog. Lindell, heavy underdog. Doesn't mean they couldn't do a good job. Doesn't mean they won't put up a fight. Doesn't mean the election won't be competitive. But Klobuchar is going to be almost impossible to beat. Almost impossible to beat. The Tafoya race with either Angie Craig or Peggy Flanagan, if those two don't kill each other first, is, I think, much more winnable. But I would still say that any Republican in a statewide race is going to be an underdog there. So with Mike Lindell, any issues here about what he's talking about? If I try to assess it, I feel like he's trying to find some middle ground. And in his words, it is not practical for us to go door to door with deportations, which some of us still hope can happen. But he says it's just not going to happen. We're not going to be able to do it there. So he says, I'm trying to come up with a way to do this. But Lindell's clarifying remarks tell me that he is saying, no, the reason we're going to take this hiatus here is that we're going to register everybody so we know what happens if something happens. It feels a little too much, let's make it up as we go, for me. But do I think this is going to be a massive black mark against him? I don't think so. I think a lot of Republicans in Minnesota are looking for a middle ground on this issue. I really do. It's not North Dakota, it's Minnesota. All right, when we come back, Sean Doberstein, Hector Airport, lots of big stuff going on there. That's next. If you've been smiling with your mouth closed, skipping photos, holding back laughter, that does not have to be you anymore, my friend. Maybe you've been passing on dinner invites, avoiding the camera, don't even want to hang out with friends and family. Oh, that's no way to do it. A new smile can change your confidence, your comfort, and your everyday life. It's not really about teeth at all. It's about genuinely enjoying the time with people you love without holding back. Feeling comfortable smiling again really does matter. Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, they are the experts. Dr. Matt Eaton does it so well. A compassionate team, a comfortable experience, financing options available. What's not to like? Take the first step today. Go to DakotaImplant.com. That's DakotaImplant.com. We are pleased to be joined today on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line by Sean Doberstein. And Sean is the executive director of Hector International Airport. And every once in a while, I like to call Sean and say, hey, come on the program. Let's talk about what's going on at Hector Airport. And boy, is there a lot going on at Hector Airport there. I want to start with Mr. Doberstein. Good morning to you. I want to start Good with morning. A hefty compliment. I had a chance to fly out of Hector for the first time in a few months back in early June and saw the new terminal, the new gates. And Sean, it is amazing. I couldn't even tell you I was in the Fargo Airport for a while. What a masterful job you and your team did with that. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I mean, there's a lot of work yet to be done in the existing portion of the terminal that hopefully will be finished by March 1st of next year. So more changes to come and more improvements, new restaurant and so forth. But we're pretty pleased with it, and the response from the traveling public has been overwhelmingly positive.
I bet it has. Yeah, it's really cool. And now we have how many gates at the airport?
Well, currently 5, but when everything is done, we'll have 9.
Okay, so we're not quite to 9 yet, but we're on the way. Right. Yeah, it looks like an airport in a city like twice our size. It's really, really well done. It feels big. But it's modern, it's clean, it's easy to get around, some new food options there. So it's great stuff. So good deal there. I wanted to ask you what you have noticed, Sean, or what you've seen from boardings this year. We've heard over the last few months that air travel remains very active. And while it's kind of been more personal travel than business travel maybe not what it was but in the pre-COVID days, it's still fairly strong, but personal travel has really been on the upswing. What have you seen as far as boardings at Hector Airport over the summer?
Well, we continue to set records. We are 3.2% ahead of last year's record pace through June of this year. And had it not been for the government shutdown back in November and part of December, and then a Federal Aviation Administration mandate to reduce flights by 10%, June of 2026 would have been our 27th consecutive record boarding month. But we missed the mark in November due to that FA reduction in flights and also carried over into December. But we've been doing extremely well. Traveling public has been out and about and helping us fill our seats here, and hopefully we can get some more seats in the market here as our expansion project comes online.
Do we still see that increase in recreational tourism and a flat line for business, or are there trends that are any of that changing?
Business travel is picking up slightly, I think, across the country, but still lags where it was prior to the pandemic. Greatest majority of our business now has been just leisure travel, or in some cases they call it bleisure, where they're putting their business and leisure together. That's a new term in the aviation industry.
Where are people flying out of Fargo? Where do we like to go?
Well, our number one destination is Phoenix, and of course followed by, certainly Atlanta, Denver, Chicago, Minneapolis, those where we have nonstop flights. Dallas, of course, is up in that top list. But internationally, it's usually Cancun and London, places like that are usually at the top of our list.
Interesting. Have there been any, with the expansion to the airport, have you had any airlines saying, hey, Sean, we might want to start flying in and out of there a little bit more? Have you heard any of that?
Well, with our existing carriers, certainly there are some opportunities to upgauge aircraft from, smaller 76-seat regional jets to mainline, whether it's on the Dallas or Chicago segments. Delta did add an additional frequency to Minneapolis through this summer, and hopefully that carries on. Our Atlanta service is doing extremely well, which is now year-round daily service from here. But as far as carriers that aren't currently in our market, we do have constant dialogue with carriers that have an interest, but there aren't that many carriers left. There's been a lot of mergers and acquisitions. Of course, Allegiant now buying Sun Country. They'll have that fully integrated within the next 12 to 18 months to be one airline, and we'll see. But there certainly aren't that many carriers left to look at the market, but we are engaged with them.
I have to imagine that with gas prices being up here this summer with the war in Iran and oil prices being higher, that it's moving all fuel prices up, including jet fuel. Do you, from what you've seen so far in July, we got most of the month behind us, do you think that we may even hit a record in July, all that being said about higher fuel prices?
I think so. It's certainly trending that way. We'll be anxious to see our counts here in early August when the airlines report those to us, but I think we'll see July be at or near a record as well. So we're hopeful.
Okay. Talk to me like I'm 10 years old about this discussion going on about being a regional airport. I've read a couple stories about this, and maybe I'm just slow. Certainly that could very well be the case, but I'm not picking up on what this means and how you can just decide, okay, well, let me take one at a time. Explain to me this concept of being a regional airport and why you would want to do that.
Well, the Regional Airport Authority has been allowed by the North Dakota Century Code for many, many years. The Fargo Airport Authority was created or established on April 8th of 1969. There have been conversations throughout those years about becoming a regional airport authority. The late 1970s, early 1980s was probably the last formal process with which Fargo, Moorhead, Cass, and Clay counties were engaged in a conversation about that. And those conversations ended in the early 1980s, just prior to the West Passenger Terminal opening back in 1986. But a regional airport authority, similar to what Grand Forks is a regional airport authority, encompasses more of the area with which you serve, of course, on the North Dakota side of the river here. It expands representation. It'd be a combination between the city of Fargo and Cass County. We have 5 members now, possibly you expand to 7 members potentially, depending on how that all works out. It does expand the tax base of funds that we would receive from the traveling public throughout Cass County through the property taxes. Right now we are getting property taxes from the city of Fargo, the citizens of Fargo, and all the property there. So it will be approximately just slightly under $1.9 million for 2027, and every penny of that goes towards infrastructure improvements like our terminal expansion project. None of the money goes towards day-to-day operations. But a regional airport authority would be more representative of the people that we're serving and also give them a voice as far as what the airport is doing and future expansion and so forth.
So can you just decide to do this, or do you have to get approval from the county to do this?
Yeah, it's through the Century Code lays out the process, which there would be resolutions passed by the city of Fargo and Cass County in this case, and we would work with the other political subdivisions throughout the county. There are other airports within Cass County, such as Page and Kindred and Castleton and so forth, and we would work with those entities as well. There wouldn't be any impact per se to, say, like Castleton. They already collect 4 mills to their airport, which is the maximum allowed under the state statute. So if the 2-mill levy were to be expanded countywide, it wouldn't impact anyone in Castleton at this point. Other airports that are supported by their local township and or community, if they're less than 4 mills, there could be some impact there. But all of that needs to be sorted out. It's very preliminary. We were asked to present this to the county at their budget hearing last year to try and take the next steps, get the county on board as a partner, and then expand the stakeholders in these discussions to see where we can go and see if it's feasible.
If I'm a resident of rural Cass County, Sean, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I still get to use the airport now. I can pay to hop on a plane and go out of there. Why would I want my tax money as a county resident to go toward this? What do I get for that? What would you say to that?
Well, it's access to air service is one thing. The other thing that it supports is the cargo operations. Everybody throughout Cass County and the entire state of North Dakota receive benefits from the cargo operation, whether that's directly or indirectly from UPS and FedEx that have their regional bases here. So it's more than just passenger service. It's a life flight. It's all types of different things involved with aviation to support people throughout the county and throughout the region.
What does the county government get if they include this in some of their taxation going forward? What services does the county government specifically get?
Well, they would have a voice in the commercial service airport here in terms of its development and growth and strategic planning. It's just expanding to those elected officials to have a voice in how the Fargo Airport operates and how we expand and move forward in the future.
And is this a process that the the airport authority has decided, yes, we are going to pursue this, or is this something you're just kind of talking about and weighing the pros and cons? Where does this stand?
Strictly talking about it, weighing the pros and cons, and trying to get feedback from other stakeholders, you know, whether it's going to be through the chambers throughout the county, economic development, obviously elected officials throughout the entire county, state officials will be involved at the federal level as well. So we're just kind of kicking the tires and just seeing where these conversations could go. There are several regional airport authorities throughout North Dakota. As you know, there's 89 publicly funded airports in the state of North Dakota. 84 of those are governed by airport authorities, and then a small portion of those are governed by regional airport authorities, Grand Forks being probably the largest.
Gotcha. Any kind of gut feeling on how this goes? I think these days, obviously, everybody who has another tax or another, any kind of a burden, whether it's a small one or a big one, is like, I'm already taxed enough already, and I've got to believe there'll be a few people that might push back on that. Do you think this can go through?
Certainly anything's possible. It's really too early to know, because the concept was just mentioned again, probably similar to conversations that were happening back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, when there was a real formal process going forward. In fact, I found a brochure here a couple of weeks ago about the Regional Airport Authority effort that was taking place back then. So it's been around for a long time, and I think at the end of the day, people see the benefit of it, and hopefully we'll be able to move forward.
Very good, sir. Well, we've learned a lot today. We covered a lot of bases, but it was all good stuff and great information. Appreciate you taking the time, Sean. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Doberstein, Executive Director, Hector International Airport. When we come back, France has banned social media for anybody under 15 years of age. Oh, how is this happening? And could it happen in the U.S. as well? We'll talk about it next. Hope does not recognize state lines. For more than 40 years, the Perry Center has welcomed women from across America who needed somebody to believe in them. Many arrive at the Perry Center after experiencing abuse, addiction, trafficking, homelessness, or other heartbreaking situations. The Perry Center provides more than shelter. It provides hope, guidance, parenting education, prayer, and the foundation for a healthier future for both mother and child. This month's campaign is called 50 States for Life, and their goal is to get at least one donation from every state in the country. Go to am1100theflag.com, and you can click on the 50 States for Life tab or visit perrycenter.org to find out more. 49 past the hour. From the text line today, and by the way, you can call, you can text 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. I have asked you earlier in the program, are you satisfied with Mike Lindell's explanation on where he stands on amnesty or not amnesty for illegals? He's given some indications that he's open to some kind of a middle ground for certain people that are here, but has also said, hey, look, I am very much for making sure the law and order is followed here. So many times this happens. You have someone say, look, I am for whatever, but I could have a conversation about this. I had a conversation with you about this not too long ago where I said, I am an amnesty guy through and through, but if there is a way that we could say, if you're here illegally, get out of the shadows, register, whatever you want to call it. You can't vote. You get no public money, but you can be here. Maybe you have a payroll tax, an extra payroll tax on you. I said I would have that conversation. Some people who are hardline on that say, no, no way, no how. I say I understand it. I'm not saying you're wrong. But for me, my perspective on this is not hard and fast, 100% everybody here has to leave. I'm not far from there, but I do want to say that for the most part, I'm. If you're someone who's here illegally, you committed a crime to come in, and we cannot wipe that away. I think Mike Lindell is trying to find something here as well. I don't know that he's explained it as clearly as I would recommend him to do that, but that's where he's at. So I've asked you, are you comfortable with where Mike stands on this issue? And any concerns on that at all for you? And I did get a text on Mike Lindell. It says, Steve, your utter negativity about Mike Lindell could be torpedoing his campaign. Your listening area is probably a lot of his voting base. I understand this is your opinion show. This makes you seem like you're stumping for a Democrat. And then the text is going to say, you have openly admitted you can't pick elections well, and we're totally wrong about Trump. I like your show, but you're totally wrong about Mike. He's a great patriot, deserves solid backing from your radio station. Go, Mike Lindell. Okay, there's a lot there. So, first of all, I have told you that I don't always pick the right candidates on elections. That is 100% true. I thought Trump was going to beat Biden. Maybe he did. I don't know. But however it turned out, he didn't win that election. However, we got there. And I was totally wrong about Trump. I don't know if I would say it that way, but I didn't think that Trump... well, I just told you my stance on Trump. So... The concept of the text is, Steve, you got a cheerlead for Mike Lindell here. And I just have to tell you, I don't think that's my job. Because if I say, well, I have concerns about Mike, I don't think he can win. And my concerns with Mike are just, I don't think he's electable in Minnesota. I don't see major character issues here. There apparently are still some like unpaid tax bills and things like that that are out there, that doesn't work well in a political race. And I don't know anything for a fact. I'm just telling you what I've heard. If there are things like that that are out there, he has no chance because the Democrats will absolutely pulverize him on this issue. And he is going to be weak on that issue anyway, whether you want him to be or not. So I'm not going to cheerlead for Mike. I'm just not. I'm going to tell you what I think, and I'm going to be honest about it. That way you will always know where I really stand on people and issues and whatever. Because if I start thinking to myself, well, I really have problems with this thing, but I'm going to push for it, then why would you trust me and listen to me to any and listen to anything I would say? I had a pretty good idea that measure whatever that one with the property taxes, I guess measure four, a couple of years ago, I had a pretty good idea that that wasn't going to win. And everybody kept telling me, well, you want to be on the wrong side of history. You don't want, I said, I don't care about being on the wrong side. If I think it's right and I think it's the best move, I'm going to say, let's do it, whether I think it's going to go or not. So I'm just going to give you where I see this race at. I'm telling you that both Damuth and both Lindell, both of those two, are huge underdogs in this. And me being on the air and saying Mike Lindell is the greatest, he's never done anything wrong, he's perfect, whatever, he's just what Minnesota needs or whatever, that would not be honest. So why do you want me to say that? I don't think you really want what you say that you want. And it makes it seem like I'm stumping for a Democrat. Well, that's a you thing. That's not a me thing, because you should know pretty well by now from listening to this program where I stand on Amy Klobuchar and Democrats in Minnesota. All right, that's hour number one of the program. I'll get to that story about France banning social media for kids under 15 coming up in the Key 3 in just a moment. Steve Hallstrom Show rolls on right after this. Hour two of the Steve Hallstrom Show brought to you today in part by Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, home of the Mobile Oil Change campaign. And they've got something really cool cooking down there at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. You know that they make buying a car easy. And I've told you before that they make service easy as well. You're at work. You let them know, hey, I'm going to be at work tomorrow, whenever you set the appointment up for. They come to your office. They'll change the oil right in the parking lot. Your kid's got a soccer game and you're watching the soccer. They come to the soccer field in the parking lot and change the oil for you. It's a fantastic deal. And they are offering your first oil change for free, basically value around $100. Limited appointments are available for the first 50 people that say, I want to check this thing out. So that's the deal. Check them out at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton and give them a call and say, hey, I heard Steve talking about this mobile oil change thing. I want to give that a try. So they'll change the oil. They'll check the engine light. I'll do a filter replacement, basic inspections, tire pressure. And they'll come to your home, your workplace, job site, wherever it works best for you. They come to you. Make it easy and save time. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. The Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line is open for business as well, 701-271-1100. Phone calls, text messages, it's all good. And the email box is open as well today, studio@flagfamily.com, studio@flagfamily.com. So send me a note one way or another, and love to get your perspective on the issues of the day. From the text line, Steve Klobuchar should be held accountable for giving Governor Walz a pass for not pushing his resignation over all the millions lost in fraud. What would she do to punish criminals and get money back to finance all of her government projects? Yeah, good questions. Here's what I think is fair, and here's what I think is not fair. Amy Klobuchar is a U.S. senator, and unless she is directly involved with something, like there is some reason to believe that Ilhan Omar kind of helped set up some of the Somali fraud in the Twin Cities. And this is just based on innuendo more than anything else. But it's, from what I have heard, it seems like she may have had her hands in that cookie jar. Okay? If that's the case, then there is absolutely a duty for her to come out and say, not involved, didn't do it. Nothing is going on here. I am as upset at these people as anybody else being a taxpayer in Minnesota. That's the reaction that we should be hearing. Now, Amy Klobuchar is a U.S. senator. And was she buddies with Tim Walz? Absolutely. But is it reasonable to say, well, she has to come out and, threaten Tim Walz to that she's going to sue him or whatever? That's not reasonable to me. I would like to hear some sort of discussion on this. Like, hey, as a U.S. senator from Minnesota, I care about the people of Minnesota, and I want any of these allegations to be checked out. I don't know if she's done that or not. That is certainly fair for her to say, and I think probably it should be expected for her to say. But if you're saying, well, Amy Klobuchar should have just got involved and shut that whole thing down and ordered a thorough, top to bottom house cleaning at the state capitol. That's not her role. That's not her role. And I'm not going to hold her accountable for that. Now, I don't want Amy Klobuchar anywhere near the governor's office. She is as liberal as the day is long. She got behind AOC's Green New Deal. Yes, she did. Go back and check the records. But on this particular thing, I'm trying to call balls and strikes honestly. And in this one, I say, yes, come out and make a statement. Maybe she did it too late. I don't know. I think that's fair to ask those tough questions. But if you're saying that she should have shut the whole thing down, there's not a way for her to physically do that. That's not reasonable to me. And if we're going to have conversations about changing things and getting people across Minnesota to get involved, I think we have to come at it from a point of let's be reasonable. Let's try to get some wins where we can. But if you say, well, Amy Klobuchar should have known, she should have shut down the whole Minnesota government, you're not going to get anybody in the middle. You're not going to get on the left anyway, but you're not going to get anybody in the middle to say, yeah, that makes sense to me. So let's find the wins where we can in these conversations. But thank you for the email on that. Mike Lindell was correct that if an illegal immigrant does crime, yes, too many of them got released before the trial, then killed people. Crime is why we moved away. Okay, thank you for that. Steve, thanks for the explanation. You're 100% right about Mike Lindell. No chance of being elected. We have a better shot with Lisa. I believe she can draw some of the independents and moderates to our side. I think that's right. Regarding the Minnesota governor's election, both women there were there during the fraud. So what came of it? Now they say there will be an investigation. Yeah, I don't know. I've not heard that, but I hope so. And then, Steve, when you go to Medora, please check out the lobby of Hotel 1883. Look at the mural behind the check-in desk. It's blue sky, buffalo, and a plane, and prairie, sorry, all made from cowhide by a guy in Texas. A story right there. Wow. That's pretty cool. Amy's TV ad, she is accountable. The fraud has been out of there, and she and should. People, you've got to proofread. I can't even understand what you're saying here. about this ad info out there, whatever. So I love reading text messages, but I got to be able to understand them. All right, let's go to Joan in Moorhead. Joan wants to talk about Mike Lindell. Good morning, Joan. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Steve. I'm just calling about Mike Lindell. I didn't hear what he said so much about amnesty, but I heard what you were saying about it. But I do have to admit that I do have always felt that I wish that the good people that came here because their countries are so bad, that they came here because they love our country and they want to work here and they want to be honest and fair. I wish those people could stay, but a lot of them are not like that. And the majority of them probably should go back, but I have a little hard time with all of it, except for the bad people going back. But anyway, I just wanted to comment on your comments about Mike. I honestly think that when he wins, he's going to be the greatest governor Minnesota's ever had, and not just Minnesota, but I do believe he'll be the greatest governor the United States has ever had. If you guys really understood what he's all about, you know, he's been fighting for 6 years against the Dominion machines, Dominion. And boy, they hate him. The establishment hates him. The deep state hates him. So he is a fighter, and he's going to fight like that for Minnesota. Believe me, he is. And he is. And Trump, he did beat Biden. I mean, that is so obvious. That election was stolen. But they hate Mike Lindell as much as they hate Trump.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to win. And he's a great man. They don't even want to talk about him running, you know, in the newspaper in the cities. They think he's just a loser. You know, he might act kind of silly and goofy, but he is as brilliant as they come. And he wants so much. I heard a little ad about Lisa DeMuth said that she's the only one that's going to go after Somali fraud. Mike Lindell is probably the only one that's really going to go after Somali fraud. Not just that, but against Sharia law. He's gonna be the best governor, believe me, for Minnesota.
Well, hey,
so that's my opinion.
Thank you for calling. I love the enthusiasm. Look, there's a lot to like about Mike. No question about that. I'm just trying to assess as honestly as I can what it seems like the political climate is in Minnesota now.
The political climate doesn't look like they'll like him, but I've heard he's number one in the polls.
Among Republicans, in the Republican primary. I think he has a nine. Well, in one of the polls, I don't know if there are more than that, but the last one that came out from KSTP had him with a 9-point lead. And that was after the Trump endorsement, which certainly has helped him. Joan, thanks for calling. I appreciate it so much. And it's great to hear people supporting people who care very much about our country. So thank you very much. I might be wrong. I've been wrong before. I may be wrong on this one again. Maybe Mike will be our next governor. All right. It's 16 past the hour here. I love the conversation with Joan. Wanted to give her plenty of time. So we'll catch Key 3 coming up after this. And also the best thing I heard all day. So lots to do here. We still have a qualifier to get in. We'll do that coming up soon here for our ultimate Vegas gridiron getaway. And a chance for you to take yourself and somebody else to Las Vegas, see the boys from Fargo play football against UNLV. And so that qualifier will be coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Time for the Key 3. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today for you here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Number one is this. You know who does have the SAVE Act already? Florida. No surprise, Ron DeSantis' state, the liberals don't like it. And lawsuits have now been filed challenging Florida's HB 991, also known as the SAVE Act. The legal challenges are being brought forward this week by groups including Unidos US and the Florida NAACP. And they seek to overturn state requirements that voters present proof of U.S. citizenship when registering. Republican officials from the state and national level have filed motions to intervene to defend voter eligibility standards and ensure non-citizens are kept off Florida's voter rolls. Florida, the freest state in the country. Story number two, Small business optimism in Minnesota is below the national average. This on the NFIB's, National Federation of Independent Business, latest Small Business Optimism Index. The below average rating is driven by growing concerns over economic expectations and state regulations. According to the report, Minnesota trailed national figures in five key areas, including current job openings, expansion plans, and inventory levels. Though local business owners did report stronger plans for capital investments than the average. So businesses are hanging in there, saying we still need to grow no matter what. Business advocates cite high taxes, inflation, and government mandates like the new paid leave program as primary factors that are holding back expansion. Headline there, small business optimism in Minnesota slightly below the national average. So we got that going for us. And finally, I saw this story on our website. And we don't often do national or international stories, but every once in a while we do. And this is a good one here. It comes to us from Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage, who was on with Scotty here a couple of days ago. But France has approved a historic nationwide ban blocking kids under 15 from social media. So you turn 15, you can have the app. France is the first European nation to do this. Savage detailed France's law that is going to be rolled out on September 1st. Children under 15 will be barred from creating new social media accounts, and platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat will be required to purge all existing underage profiles by January of 2027. Well, how about that? Glenn Beck has caught my attention lately with some really good common sense, and he's got something to talk about for parents of teenagers who are seemingly losing their common sense. Now, this goes about 5.5 minutes, so it's a little long. We may not be able to get all of it in here, but we're going to get as much of it as we can because I think this is some very interesting perspective.
It says something when you're talking to an individual, and especially your son or daughter, and you can't have a simple question and say, look, I know you think I'm going to try to talk you into Donald Trump or whatever. I'm going to try to make you into conservative. I'm not. I just want to ask you some questions because I've been hearing about socialism from you. And so I want to ask you a few questions. And if you start to get uncomfortable, let's just take a break for a second and just, you know, laugh about something. And then we'll come back to it because I'm not trying to convince you anything. I just want to ask you questions. And here's the first one. When you say socialism, do you mean the government pays for, like Denmark, 60% of stuff? Or that the government owns things? Because those are two different countries. So which is it? Is there private property? Or do you want just bigger safety nets? Question number one. If it just means the government pays for some things, then we've already been a socialist government since 1790, and the argument is over here. Then we're not saying let's get rid of everything else. We're just saying, okay, we need to argue on taxes and how big that safety net gets. Is that what you mean by socialism? You say the system is rigged. I have my own opinions because I think it is rigged. But I want to know from you, rigged by whom? Who are you handing the rig to? Who is rigging it? And who is going to unrig it? How does that work? You say you're for socialism. Okay. What does a loaf of bread cost today? In the ballpark. You don't need an exact figure. I'm not trying to embarrass you. You don't even know the price of bread. I'm not trying. What does a loaf of bread cost today? Or anything. What's it cost? Now, tell me the name of the person who decided that price. Who is deciding the price of bread?
That's so good.
Anyone.
Yep.
One name. Corporation, anybody. So if no one set the global price of bread, how did it get set? And how did it stay roughly right every day in every store for your entire life? Do you know what's causing the price of bread to go up? Have you considered inflation? What is inflation? Can you name one country where the state took ownership of the means of production and the poor got richer? And I'm not trying to be cute. I want an example, and I'll take the best one you got. But where is the place where the poor got richer? And let's look into that. When the border opens, any border, any decade, in this country, which direction do people run? Who built the wall, and which way were the guns pointed? I know things are bad. They are. And I'm not denying that. They are. But I want to see if we have any perspective. Would you rather be poor today or rich in 1900? By the way, one of you has antibiotics. The other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he had a few more things to say, but really this illustrates something we talk a lot about on this show. And he did it brilliantly there, better than I ever have, ever probably would. But he's saying to you, test all of these ideas against rational thought and put those ideas to the test. Because the liberals will sell you something that sounds good because it's emotionally based, but they won't tell you how it all works. So where do we go with all this? Well, we try to figure out exactly what's going to work. And a lot of his questions there are like, oh, okay, yes. How are the prices of goods created? How is that price of the loaf of bread set? And why? And tough to do that without sounding judgmental against the other side. But in the right setting with your kids, really good conversations. Back with more. Okay, there you go. Let's do it, people. 271-1100. And caller, what did we say? Caller 5, I think, today? Caller 5. Let's do it. We'll get today's qualifying spot. And make sure that you are able to be there with us on September 14th at Kingpin's between like 5 and 8, as that's going to be the big finals party there. We want to say thank you to United Valley Bank, our presenting sponsor for the Ultimate Gridiron Getaway. United Valley Bank, where our roots make us stronger. They're located just off 52nd Avenue South in Fargo, over by Kingpin's there. Online at uvbank.net, uvbank.net. The winner on September 14th is going to get round-trip airfare for two from Fargo to Las Vegas, three nights hotel, two VIP tickets to see the boys from Fargo take on UNLV at Allegiant Stadium, where the Raiders play. NFL Stadium should be really fun. And the VIP tickets give you about 25 rows up on the 50-yard line and access to the Champions Club, which includes unlimited food and beverage. Oh, boy. That's going to be a trip, my friend. There will be so many Bison fans in Vegas. That is going to be so fun. It'll be like, I don't know, like when Fargo goes to Frisco, you know, and all North Dakota, Western Minnesota, South Dakota, wherever Bison fans come from, it's going to be so fun. So that stadium must hold, what, 50,000 people? They won't fill it up by any stretch, but there'll be a lot of green and gold there. Should be fun. We're looking for caller number 5, and I see Addison has got caller number 5. So if you've not called yet, sorry, but we have found our winner today. All right, we are always a winner when our good friend Bridget Riedel can join us. And normally we talk to Bridget about ag headlines. And I do have a couple of farm questions for Bridget, as I always do. But Bridget is out being our ambassador today in an event that's really important to our entire community and in the ag community in particular as well. Bridget, good morning to you. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and what you're up to today.
Hello, Steve. This is the Save Our Summer Blood Drive, because it's not just about the end of summer. It's about saving each other. Vitalant is hosting a blood drive here at West Acres Mall today, Wednesday and Thursday this week, 11:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. This will be at the food court. We really want to see folks come out. Vitalant is facing critical blood shortages, particularly of type O, but they're not going to turn anybody away. I'm not a type O, and believe me, I'm ready to sign up and donate my pint today as well. You can make an appointment in any of the coming weeks. You can easily donate sometime between now and August 8th, because if you do, you are automatically entered to win $30,000 to be paid to your chosen dealership for a car. Mm. So donate a pint of blood, drive home in a new vehicle. I call that a big win.
That sounds wonderful. So you have a heart, obviously, for the ag community, as do I, growing up on a hog and cattle farm in central Minnesota. A lot of times we think about Vitalant and what's happening here in Fargo as, okay, this is a place that's going to get the hospitals what they need in town here, which is true. That does matter. But these donations that are made, there's a big impact in the rural community as well.
You know, Vitalant services our rural communities as well, which our smaller hospitals need that type of service. When there's a multi-car accident, which we saw several of them in the last week, there was one near Botno, one in Sussman County near Courtney. You have people who are injured. There's multiple people on site who need that assistance when they get to our small critical care hospitals. Make sure that you are a part of helping them out. God bless all of our EMTs, local fire department, ambulance drivers, and so much more. But even if you don't have time for that, I ask that you have time to donate that pint of blood to help save lives when they're most in need.
Yeah, no question about it, Bridget. And it's you know, it's something a lot of us don't think too much about. We go along our day, but boy, that's such a big deal when there is a need, and especially, like you said, a critical need right now. We've got to have those supplies available there. And when you do give blood, you feel like $1 million. And yeah, it doesn't sound like a great idea to take time out of your day, and you got to kind of watch what you eat going into it, and having a needle poked in your arm is nobody's idea of a good time. But you feel so good when you're done. And the way they did it, when you do like the double collection or however they do that, it actually is like you're burning 1,000 calories too. So it's like having a good workout without having to break a sweat. So there's a lot of good stuff behind it. And I would encourage people, if you've not done it, especially if you are type O, I'm in marathon training right now, so I can't do it until I get into October. But it's one of the things I really need to do when that's done. But please get out and do it if you can. What's the
scene? Frankly, I'm here for the cookies.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
And I want them. And they're setting up. The donations are going to start at 11:30 today.
Okay.
And so, you know, you've got time to get here, visit with me and with others until that opportunity to grab a table where they're going to lay out and donate, and you can donate blood. But also think of it this way. It's not just car accidents. Farm accidents increase in the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be you, it could be your neighbor. You don't want anybody who's been injured, whether it's with an auger, with a tractor or a truck, to be short that pint of blood when maybe you could be the person who helps. And
yeah.
I just strongly encourage everyone, when you say I'm afraid of blood or I'm afraid of needles, let's not be afraid of that. Come on out. It's going to be a great day for you to donate.
We can do it. Yeah, we can do it for sure. A lot of farmers I know are heading down to Baltic for a Hefty's Farm Fest day coming up on Thursday. If you're coming through town, maybe a great way, set aside a little extra time, stop and donate some blood and, you know, give a donation of something that could be really important. And it could come right back to your community with some of the rural health connection points that we have. So a big deal
and
for sure.
If you miss me here, you can see me at Ag PhD Field Day on Thursday. I'll be down there. I am moderating 3 different panels. Look for my name on the schedule and agenda. I'll be doing Weather and Ag in Focus live from that event. And I'm very excited to see so many folks from across the country join us there.
Yeah.
And you're right, donating blood on your way, what a great idea.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, Bridget walks around with a crown on her, a tiara, because she is the queen of field day down there. She's a big deal for sure. So we appreciate you, sister. Hey, before you go, though, can I have you put on your farm director hat here for a minute?
Yes.
I saw a post. I follow a few farmers on social media just that are seem to have a good way of putting things, because I like to follow what's happening in the countryside, even though I don't live on a farm anymore. But this one of these guys posted this. He said, "Dear weather traders, the western corn belt of Nebraska, western Iowa, western Minnesota, and the Dakotas was lost over the weekend. Yield decline was likely 20% minimum. Enjoy your weather maps. Rain isn't bringing those bushels back." Is that overdramatization, or does that sound on target to you?
Nope. That's on target to me. I believe we have lost the top end of our yield at this point, that even if we got rain, we're not going to be able to resume what we need for corn production for pollination. The soybeans might have a chance. If we got some rain, you may have the opportunity for soybeans and dry beans to rebloom so that you would have more pods. Maybe you'd only get one or two more beans in a pod, but you may be able to improve your yield. That time is dwindling very quickly. But as far as our corn is concerned, I have great concern where we stand for yielding corn.
So there will be corn. It's not like the stocks are going to die and there will be nothing there, but it's just we're not going to be able to get the kind of yields that maybe you'd hope for. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, but I do think in western Nebraska and Kansas, some of those folks, that crop is dead. I saw pictures of milo this morning, sorghum. That is actually dead. They will lose. They will lose acres there. Where we are, we're going to lose yield.
Okay, but we're not ready to till under the crop quite yet.
Not quite yet.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I wish there were more chances for rain in the forecast. I heard Dean talking about maybe in the next few days something, and we can only hope, but we certainly need it. Isn't it weird, Bridget, like most years when we get humid weather, that just seems to automatically trigger thunderstorms and rain, and it has not happened. As muggy as it's been, it just hasn't happened here.
We are not there right now. And even if we get a little bit of rain, Dean's only talking about maybe a quarter to a half inch of rain. That's not enough in many cases to help us out. It could prolong what we're doing and keeping plants going, but it's not enough to say, hey, this really fixed our problem.
Yes. Yep. All right, Bridget. Hey, thanks for giving us a little bonus farm content here today. I wish it was a better topic, but man, it's just my heart goes out to people who are growing and just watching the crop wilt day by day, and it's hot at night, it's hot during the day, and it's just a tough deal. So hang in there, farmers. We love you, and it's a tough slog, we know, right now. But thanks for taking the time, and thanks for being out there at the Vitalant Blood Drive. And everybody who can, please stop out there. Bridget, thanks a lot. You take care.
You too, Steve. See you Friday.
Right. Thanks much. Yep, we'll talk to you soon. The one and only Bridget Riedel, she is the best. All right, I have a couple notes I want to pass along to you today that I thought were really interesting that I wanted to get in the show before we wrapped up here today. Kalshi, are you familiar with Kalshi? It's a prediction market. It's basically you can bet on things to happen or not happen or be a certain level of bad or good. And there are things in Vegas that you can bet money on, but mostly it's sports. But Kalshi, Poly Market is another one. These prediction markets where you can say, I think that Addison Loger is going to be the next mayor of Fargo. And they kind of take people that are for and against that idea, and you put your money in that, and they try to get more people to balance the market out there. And so you can bet on all kinds of things on this. You're not planning to run for mayor, are you, by chance?
I won't confirm anything on
that. That was a pregnant pause there. I feel like you gave that some thought there.
I've got plans, but I can't reveal them yet.
I like it. Can neither confirm nor deny. Well, anyway, we've all been wondering what's going to happen with the House and the Senate. And this is maybe the weirdest midterm that I can remember in my adult lifetime since I really started paying attention. And to be honest with you, through most of my adult life, I really didn't pay attention like that. I would be one of those people who would start paying attention like right about now. But the odds on Kalshi right now for the Republicans to keep the Senate have increased versus 3 months ago. Back 3 months ago, Republicans were at 50% and Democrats were at 50%. It was 50-50. As of right now, Republicans are 6% higher, 56 to 44. So Republicans up 6, Democrats down 6. Boy, I don't know. Everything I hear about both House and Senate is 50-50. And gosh, if we could get this war taken care of and get this economy rolling again, get prices down, oh, wouldn't that be great? Back with more after this. The lunch specials are in for the day at PetroServe USA. And here's what you get. You've got in Valley City today, spicy cheesy sausage mac, Harwood chicken fettuccine, West Main Avenue meatloaf or beefy noodles, 12th Avenue General Tso's chicken, Ada beefy noodles, 45th Street barbecue pulled pork sandwich, in Castleton country fried steak, Glendon bacon cheeseburger hot dish, Wahpeton has Salisbury steak, Grand Forks by the Alera Center has mac and beef, and the South Washington location in Grand Forks, Taco Mac. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. From the text line this morning, Steve, like Dr. Oz said, it's really hard to fix stupid. I think that was in relation to Glenn Beck's commentary. I think, though, with young people, it's not stupid as so much as it's uninformed. Like, I'll admit, there's a lot of times I say, I'm ignorant on a lot of things. Hopefully I'm not stupid on a whole lot of things. I guess it depends on who you ask. But, yeah, I mean, there's just, you're young. You go to high school. If you're lucky, you go through a neutral indoctrination in high school. You go to college, 85-90% chance you're going to get some sort of liberal doctrine there in college. And then you get out of school, you have a degree, and many times your degree isn't worth a whole lot. And you say, I've done all this, I don't have any money, and Elon Musk has $50 gazillion, and he doesn't need all that money. And you don't know. You just haven't lived enough life to realize that you don't want to live in a world where somebody can't make a lot of money. And you want to live in a world where you can. And that you have that opportunity. And so you listen to people who say, oh, socialism, socialism, socialism. We could have grocery stores like Mom Donnie yesterday, right? Five grocery stores in New York City, and all the food is going to be 30% lower than the privately owned grocery stores. What could go wrong, right? I mean, we could sit here and come up with a list of probably 25 things that make you go, no, you don't want this. And every once in a while, I still see those social media videos of the Kansas City municipal grocery stores. There's nothing there. What is there looks horrible. 30% is well above the profit margin for most grocery stores. So you're selling things for less than zero margin, which means that there is a cost of whatever, 15, 20%. Where do you think that's coming from? And if you, like Glenn Beck said, just ask kids, like, how could that work with groceries at 30% less? And you'll likely get some ignorant answer. Not a stupid answer, ignorant. They just don't know. Your kids don't know. If they grew up in your house, maybe they do. But maybe they, mom and dad, there's curmudgeons, and they're all crabby about spending too much money, whatever. So, I hear you on the fix stupid, but it's ignorant is what I think we're trying to fix there. Also from the text line, Steve, July 31st, August 4th, North Dakota's Class B American Legion baseball tournament is going to be held in Lisbon. Ah, Bronco country. 10 miles south of Enderlin, 1 mile west. Lemoore and Edgley are in the mix. Yeah, that's good flag country right there. Edgley's first time at the event. How about that? The Lisbon Lions will serve breakfast on August 2nd at the Pavilion Park on 2nd Avenue, 8 a.m. to noon. They're planning on feeding 300 people. I bet they serve a darn good breakfast down there in Lisbon at the Pavilion Park. The Lisbon Lions getting the job done. We appreciate that. Thank you for sending that note in. I'm a sports nut. I don't get to talk about sports a whole lot, but we can definitely throw in a little Legion baseball talk every once in a while. All right. I know that Thomas Massie has got a mixed reputation. He has been a critic of anybody and everyone, and has turned into a critic of the president as well. But I'm not one of those people that will not listen to somebody just because they are a critic or a friend of the president. I like to see what they're saying and try to figure out if this makes sense. And Thomas Massey, the congressman from Kentucky, puts this little social media nugget out a couple of days ago. Says the number of depositions and interviews the House Oversight Committee has conducted in the Epstein case, 19. The number of criminal referrals, 0. And there's a concerned face thinking there in the emoji right next to it. I will say this. I appreciate that. I want as much transparency as possible still on the Epstein files, no doubt about it. But if you have listened to this show, you know, because I've told you multiple times, that every word of everything is available in Congress, and congressional representatives can go into wherever those documents are stored. It's available to everyone. And if it is, and the Democrats have not said, well, here's the proof on page 3,219 of Donald Trump having a picture with some little naked girls, if that's not there, then my guess is there's nothing really there. And I would also say that if there was something there, we'd have heard about it before. I don't feel like we've gotten everything released to the public. Maybe this is the best way to do it, just make it available to Congress. But are there criminal referrals for any of this? No. Do there need to be? Yes, just like down in good old Minnesota. All right, friend, have a great day. Thanks for being with me. Take care. Keep on flying that flag.